this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Good morning, everybody. So recently we started talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Kerry let us know that the fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. It's also not a lemon, although some of us, you might think, have been sucking on a lemon because, tell you, like, we're walking around with these sauerkraut faces. That's not what God's got for us. So, say it with me all together, ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Yay. You all sound so happy. So, people say that joy, what is joy? It's not a feeling. It's not happiness. I'm like, isn't it? I thought that's what joy was. So I looked in the dictionary. What did the dictionary say? It's a feeling of happiness. I went, that doesn't work because Kerry said that it's not a feeling. And Kerry's pretty much right every time. I've never actually known her to not know. Well, my experience is not your experience. Like, I'm just saying that generally if she says it, she's done her research, right? So it's not a feeling, it's not happiness. But I was like, well, hang on, this doesn't make sense. So the Google dictionary.com that says that it's a feeling of happiness, I was like, okay. So I got a book off the shelf, went and found a dictionary, which is impressive because we just moved house. We have unpacked our dictionary, woohoo! Priorities, and so I looked it up in the old book, joy. It's a feeling of happiness. I'm like, okay, so clearly the world thinks that that's what joy is. So if the clever people are telling me that it's not a feeling of happiness, then what is it? So God must have something different. So I went on a little searching this week and learned a few things about what joy actually means. So, yeah, we're talking about a different thing. And what I've found is this is a few different opinions that I've pulled together from different messages that I've been listening to. It's a confident inner assurance that all is well with my soul. Does that sound fair? Okay, so that's something on the inside that we can be confident in. And then, this word, I know one word in Greek, this one, I learned this week, chara, I think that's how you say it, so I kind of know a word in Greek. So the Greek word that's used in Galatians 5 to describe this fruit of the Spirit, joy, actually comes from the root word charis, which is meaning grace or gift. So further research shows that this word through the Bible is used as a response to the grace that's given by God through hard times. Interesting, isn't that? It's a divine joy. It's supernatural, okay? So that's why when your world says it's a feeling, it's happiness, that's kind of like cheer, right? I heard a few cheers going around yesterday. There must have been something going on because there was some cheering going on yesterday. And that cheering, I didn't hear much this morning so far, right? So that's like, it's a temporary thing, right? Cheer is in the moment, that feeling, okay? This one, this divine joy that's supernatural is grounded in the hard times that God has brought us through. And it's an assurance that we can rest in God's sovereign control. So if we understand the God's leading us in our hardships, that's where true joy is rooted. It's deep inside. It's an inner assurance. It's not something that you can know or understand if you haven't got it on the inside. Just recently, I was thinking through a few things around how the church throughout history thrives under persecution. It hurts me that it does. But we've seen it throughout history. When the church gets persecuted, that's when the people come, that's when people draw near to God through hardship. It's the way of humanity. We've just seen recently in the US the persecution that's happened to that one man that has resulted in a massive revival. People showing up in churches in droves. It's like incredible. That's not a good thing that somebody has been harmed. They've lost their life. They've given their life. But the end result of that has been revival. So praise God. That is an example of how that joy can come through hardship. So one person that has laid down his life, that has given a multitude of people, and we're talking a lot, there's like thousands of people now, all calling on God through that. So who does that remind us of? Yeah, laid down his life for the many. Okay. So we find true joy under the hard stuff. Sorry. Like, you can go and cheer at the sporting events, but the joy that we're looking for is found under the hard stuff. And Katie, were you reading my notes? Because, like, you were all over vibing this morning. Loved it. Paul and Silas praising God in the prison. Yeah, that's cool. I wouldn't be. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not that deep. I think I would be moaning and complaining. That's sucking on a lemon. It's not fair. It's not fair. But when we're in those hard places, God doesn't leave us. Okay. Let's have a look at... let's go back a bit. Okay. So Kerry shared with us from Psalm 1. Now, who's got their swords this morning? No. So just a moment to say that someone said this one time years and years and years ago, like, we're going into battle, and if you're rocking up without your sword, then that's not ideal. Apps are great for, like, when you're out in the shopping centre and you need to quickly refer to something, but there's something about reading the Word of God on paper that is just, like, it's really next level. Sorry? Yeah, I thought you said it's accurate. Well, someone actually did say to me the other day they found errors on the app, interestingly. So I've not found an error in here yet. I'm very critical in my reading. I find typos and errors in things. I'm known as the one to come to for proofreading. Haven't found one in here yet. So, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Don't know about you, but law doesn't normally bring delight. Oh, these things are just so, like, fractabump, we call it in our house. Like, it doesn't make sense, yeah? on his law he meditates day and night. Yay, read those law books. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So when we started talking about the fruit of love, we were talking about being rooted and grounded. So when we're rooted in love, and we put our roots down deep, it's like the tree by the stream that has an endless water source. Okay, what else does a tree do? It bears fruit. Who has a fruit tree in their yard that bears fruit? What happens when you... Let's not talk about Kerry. Oh, you should... Currently, my backyard's even worse than yours. You've seen it now, so... Yeah, there's no fruit growing in my current yard. Hopefully, you can get the... Sorry, Nori, no more guavas. Sad. Okay, so we should be bearing fruit. So this is something that we share. We've got fruit. We've got buckets and buckets and buckets of fruit. Generally, what happens then is you share. Yep, everyone brings their little bit of fruit and shares it with the next person. And then you get the bananas and the lemons. And sometimes oranges. You're not sure if it's an orange or a lemon. So, what's the point? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. our example being in Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. So here's an opportunity for obedience. We'll come back to that a bit later. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, even if it's hard. Running's not easy, like I've tried it, not great at it. But we find joy under the hard stuff. Yeah, it's actually really good fun when you finish. You don't have to do it anymore. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So the joy was there, but there's endurance in that as well. Scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So this hardship that our joy is found underneath, Jesus has led by the example of going through the hard stuff. Okay, so he endured for the joy set before him. That's our example in Jesus. So if we flick over just a few pages, and James, oh goody, James, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Yay. Who gets happy at that? Trials of many kinds. Anyone? No? Okay. But we remember this word, chara, the kara, oh, I've learned two things this week. That is the joy that is found under the hard stuff. Yay, dig through the hard stuff. So now Jesus' example, he was known as a man of sorrows. Was he a joyful person? Do we read about him being a joyful person? He didn't tell jokes that we know of, really. I read a few references of things that people think were jokes, and I'm like, don't get it. I don't know. The example that rang true for me was the crowds followed him. Okay, I don't see people generally following in droves a person who's miserable. Okay, the children came to him. They climbed on his lap. Okay, if you know anything about children, they don't do that with miserable people. They do that with the fun person. Yeah, that's who they go to. So I'm just going to assume that Jesus was a joyful person because he was seeking the joy we just read in Hebrews. Okay? The joy was set before him. So he actually dug hard to get to that. So you might say, oh, that's all good for you, Joe. You've got a happy life. And I do. I'm very blessed with a fantastic husband, a beautiful family, and a house, and not yet a dog, but not far away. All the things that I've, things that I've wanted throughout my life, like they are starting to come to me now. I can tell you, if you need to know, most of you would have heard my testimony. It wasn't always so great. I went through a lot of hard stuff. The difference, why it came to be the way it is, I worked out just recently how I could go from being a person who was basically like a zero personality, wanting to be dead and couldn't understand why I was even created, to being able to stand here and share my joy with you. God revealed it to me. It was obedience. That's the key. So how can you go from miserable, sad, in grief, hating your life, all of those terrible things, wherever you're at, whatever thing doesn't feel right in your life, to get to be in touch with the Lord, hearing his voice? It's obedience. It's just that little thing. For a lot of time I would read the word and I didn't understand a single word. I'd just read and be like, is it still in Greek? Because I can't tell you what I just read. And just over time, just kept trying. And there's lots of options online, things that can help you to understand this. Like, listen to the messages. The Bible Project's fantastic. That's what I use. If I'm looking at a book that I haven't really got too much out of previously, I'll go watch the Bible Project video, and they give you like a little comic strip in a couple of minutes of them, what's the point, basically, just to get your head in the right gear to read it. And ask God. He says that he will give wisdom if you ask for it. So ask, keep asking, ask again. That's worked for me, okay? So I never thought I could get there. I didn't, but I feel like I'm on the right track at the moment, so we're doing all right. I've had lots of sadness in my life. A few years ago, I lost my mum. Some of you knew her. She was an amazing person. It was hard, and it's sad, but it wasn't as hard or sad as it might be for someone that was as amazing as she was, because she was okay. She had that joy. She'd done the deep digging. She had the joy, and she knew, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And if you know that it's well with your soul, there's, okay, not on peace yet, but the peace that passes understanding, otherwise known as joy. Can we go there? You would know the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Most people would have heard that at some point. Like, the words just are quite incredible. The sadness and the hard stuff we go through in our life, we can just have this inner assurance. It's on the inside. Can't give it to you. So there was a lot of sadness in my house when we lost my mum, and this song that came along that brought the joy back into my house, I'd love to share with you. So let's just see if it's going to go.
I don't want to act too high and mighty, because tomorrow I may fall down on my face. Lord, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful day. Hey, hey, hey. Thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, hey, 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 hey. It's a beautiful day, hey, 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 hey. It's a beautiful day.
Sometimes life is good, but then the trouble comes my way.
Good, isn't it? How good is that? And it's no mistake that this song arrived in my household just after my mum passed away. And to hear my kids walking around singing, because, like, once you've heard it, sorry, that's your earworm for the rest of the day. Yay, 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 yay. Like, once it's there, like, it's just true, isn't it? Like, give thanks when you're good, give thanks when you're not. Just let it be the day that it, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Okay, so if your day is more sad than happy, ask God to send you a song. Yeah, or a dancing cat. Okay, go tell all your friends you saw a dancing cat in church and see how many come next week. So, sometimes we just need to change the narrative. Has anyone heard of the term stinking thinking? It's a thing that's like this, what do they call it, a negative thought pattern. And what's a pattern? Something that goes repetitive, it goes around. Okay, so if you've got this thing in your head, it's all bad, 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 you need to stop that. Ask God to help you identify the pattern and pick the spot in that pattern where you can actually shift. Move yourself, stop the pattern, sing a song, pray, dance with your cat. How can we do this? Think about something different. This is what God gave us. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy. There's plenty there. There's plenty of things there. I'm sure that everybody in this room can think of something that is pure or lovely or praiseworthy. Okay? There's Jesus right there, all of those things. And then once again, we have a choice to make. Okay? The joy is there. We've got to dig for it. It's called obedience by choosing to switch that pattern to something different. Okay. All right, nearly there. So this, contemplating this week, how do I communicate? The fruit of the Spirit is joy. I have the joy. I now know what it means. So it's a confident assurance. So it's something I know. How do I communicate that to you? I'm like, God help me, what do I say? Because like, if it's a confident assurance inside of me, for you to have joy, it has to be a confident assurance inside of you. Yeah, makes sense. So I just put it out there and said, God help me, what do I say? Anyway, getting ready for work, sat on the edge of the bed. I had my shoes and my socks. There were two socks. Certain that they were. Put one sock on, put the shoe on. Where's my sock? The sock number two, it was gone. It was baffling. Wasn't in the shoe, wasn't under the shoe, wasn't on me, wasn't in the bed covers, wasn't under the bed. Thinking, have I gone mad? Okay, maybe I'm going blind. Perhaps I'll go get my glasses. So I get up off the bed, go around the corner to get my glasses. There's the sock. I cannot understand how it went from there to there. It had to have some other thing, unless socks can fly around corners. It didn't make sense where the sock was. And God just said, yeah, but you had to move. Okay, is it my eyesight? Or is it where I'm sitting? That's the problem. Okay, so if we are in a place where we can't see, we can't get joy, we can't get what we need to move. So if you're not having these like little interactions with God where he hides your socks from you or tells you things, lets you have a little joke that you then remove out of your notes, that was just for you. Like, if you're not having that joy of God hiding your socks in your week, then, like, dig. Don't give up until you get that. You can have it. It's there. I'm not special. I'm just Joe. I'm average Joe. Above average, slightly above average Joe. Okay? You're not so special that you're the one person in the world God doesn't give it to. Okay? Same as I'm not special for having it. I just worked towards it and made the choices when I could to get that. So if you, like I was, struggle to read your Bible, I'm going to take you on a little adventure. So I understand that some people don't have the ability to visualize things inside their head, which doesn't, I don't understand that because so many things go on inside mine. So I'm going to, there's a picture there for you. So you're probably all familiar with the 23rd Psalm. So if you need that as a prompt, it's there. But I would rather, if everyone can close their eyes and imagine their own green pasture. Where is the shepherd? The shepherd's there. So in your mind, if you can just look for that shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He's right there. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Let him choose a space where you can just rest in that green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. Just imagine those waters just flowing, just gently flowing, just quietly. He restores my soul. The things that feel heavy, take them off, put them down. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. What things do you fear? Put those things aside. You might have financial struggles, a relationship that's broken. You might be going through grief. You might have sickness. You might have an eating disorder that you battle, mental illness. The thing that feels hard for you, just let that one go. Because Jesus is there, the shepherd is there. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who are your enemies? You might not have enemies that are people. I don't think I have actual people that are enemies that I would call. The enemy is Satan that brings the fear that we just talked about. All those things, the financial lack, the relationship breakdown, the grief, the sickness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Just look for that table. What's Jesus prepared for you? What does he put on your table? What's on your table is different from what's on my table. Let Jesus show you that table. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Just let Jesus overflow your cup. What's in your cup? Your cup's different from my cup. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's a promise. Jesus gives us that promise. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, that, if you want to open your eyes, there you go. If you ever thought you don't understand scripture, every time you open your Bible, these words look like Greek to me. There's one. Did you understand that one? That one's easy to walk through, that green pasture with Jesus right there with us. So even if you just stick on that one for as long as it takes, that table, a table prepared by Jesus, like whatever's on your table, it's going to be good, yeah? He's not going to give you a table that's just got the rice crackers and a French onion dip. Unless you love that. Actually, my child would choose that. Sorry. You know, see, your table's different from my table, right? So if you need to find the joy, you go to the table. Go to Jesus. Go to the green pasture and rest. In Zephaniah, middle of your sword, just slightly to the right, He will take great delight. So the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. All right, so this is all about our joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy within us. But we are his joy. He takes great delight in me and you. Yeah? He will quiet you with his love and he will rejoice over you with singing. He's done it first. You know, like all this stuff, like Jesus gave us the example. We do the same. You become like those you hang around, my mum would say, right? So if you hang around in the Word of God, you're going to become like this, yeah? You just have to, you put in the time first. So we need to be obedient when God gives us that prompting, and then he'll come and rejoice over us. So just to remember that inner assurance, we can base that inner assurance on the promises that we've just read in Psalm 23, that he will lead us to rest, he will prepare a table. If you haven't got that inner assurance, if you don't have that, if you want that, it's for you. Declare to your soul, it is well. All is well. If you haven't had that joy in your life and you're looking for it and you're struggling to find it, then we're happy to pray with you. God said to me to bring the oil of joy for mourning. I brought my little bottle of oil. I've got it in my pocket. If you want to bring the sadness or the grief or whatever the thing was that God put into your mind when we went through that scripture, if you want to bring that and put down that hard stuff, the joy's under that. Yeah? Okay, can we maybe sing a song now? Is that all right? Yeah, if you want to, come and Kerry and I can pray with you for you to find that joy in your heart if you haven't got that.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.